where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing our divine essence. And we have Peggy Oliveira here on the show with us today. She is a transformational healing mentor and speaker. She's known as the Survivor Whisperer, and she shares her expertise as a trauma therapist and personal experience of child abuse to share a message of hope for healing. And Peggy has joined us today to talk about the wounds, the things that we adopt or seem to believe about ourselves that cause shame and cause us to disconnect from our true divine essence and the truth of the love that we really are. And so I'm honored, Peggy, to have you on the show today, and I'm looking forward to hearing all that you can share. Thank you
for having me. I'm so glad to be here and share the space with you.
It's my pleasure. Although wound talk, maybe doesn't feel that pleasurable for some people who are listening. So I'm excited that we're doing it anyway. Because I feel like, I don't know, it's kind of like, this is such a real basic example, but it's kind of like going to the gym in that it doesn't feel that good, like the idea of going, the idea of actually doing it, but the expansion that you get within yourself from doing it, the lightness of being that you feel, the freedom that you feel afterwards, and the joy in that is makes it all worthwhile. So is that your experience of, I mean, why would people like to look at their wounds? What is a wound, and why would people like to look at them? Let's
go. Great questions. And even just thinking about that example you gave about going to the gym and seeing, literally being able to see and feel the difference in your body over time as you do that. And sometimes it's painful and sometimes you can't walk the next day, but you keep going and you keep doing it, and you notice just how much differently you feel internally, not just how you look, but how you feel. And the reason that, well, first of all, I want to say that all of us, and I do believe this, all of us are wounded. Some of us have relatively minor wounds relative to some other people's, maybe, and some people have really significant, deep, deep wounds. But for that individual person, no matter where you fall on that spectrum, that is your wound. And if you do not acknowledge that there is a wound, then that wound will continue to impact your ability to live fully in your life. Because it's one of the examples that I give, an analogy that I use sometimes, is it's like having a limb amputated. Not surgically, not in a hospital, but you have a tragic accident and a limb is amputated. And you tell yourself, okay, it's not really that big of a deal. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. Or, you know, whatever you're saying to yourself. And you just try to go on. And you may be able to go on to some degree. But if you do not attend to this wound, you will never be able to function even relatively normally, because there's going to be a part that is missing. There's going to be a part that needs attention so that you can continue to live with that new experience. And so many of us, as a way of coping, tell ourselves that it's not a big deal, whatever it is. that it's not that big. Other people have it so much worse. I'll just get really busy and refocus and, you know, try to just not deal with it, because that's what society often tells us to do. You know, the idea of it's in the past, or don't dwell on it and pick yourself up by the bootstraps and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But all that does is covers it. It's like a band-aid without actually helping heal the wound. And it does, it affects everything. And depending on what those wounds are, it can affect things in really big ways, or it can be really subtle things that we may not even notice as being impacted by anything. It's just like a quirk. It's just a problem. It's just something that you have to try to do better at. Mm. And it doesn't work that way.
Mm. Okay, so while you were saying all of that, at one point you said some people have really big wounds and other people relatively have smaller wounds, and I felt my ego inside, and I feel like maybe a few other people did this as well. I was like, I don't have that many wounds, like I must relatively be okay in terms of wounds. And I can feel and like now I don't really care as much. Like I'm like, ego. Her name's Delilah. I'm like, oh, Delilah. And I know there was a time when that would have really, like the idea of being super wounded would have added to the wound. Like I would have used that to be like, oh, I've got this wound. Like there's something even wrong with me on top of the thing that was originally wrong with me. And so, yeah, the idea of being wounded can be even like a scary thing too.
Yeah.
Can you talk to that part of us maybe that I think we probably all have inside that's like, I'm not wounded, I'm good.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because that is, I think, part of the struggle for so many people. No man or woman, no matter what you do for a living, no matter what you do in the world. In fact, I think sometimes the more successful you are according to society standards, the more difficult that can actually be. And it happens really because it's a way of coping with it. Mm. It's a way of telling ourselves that whatever it is not a big deal. Whatever it is isn't that bad. Whatever it is was little enough or minor enough that we were able to get over it by doing this or that or whatever. And then especially if the face that you put out into the world is this successful, together person, to own that there's something else there. There's something that's hidden away, that whether we do it deliberately or not, and sometimes we don't do it deliberately, oftentimes we don't do it deliberately. It's really terrifying to that ego. It's terrifying to our sense of self, because our way of coping has been, I'm not wounded, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm strong, I'm independent, I'm healed, I'm whatever. And so then to acknowledge that there's maybe something there is terrifying. And maybe not on a conscious level. Maybe you're not consciously thinking, oh my God, I can't do that, it's terrifying. But there's a part of you, and sometimes it's like a defense. It's like, oh, hell no. I did the work I needed to do. Like, I know you're not talking to me. And that's a good sign that maybe there's some work there to do.
Yeah. I really just want everyone listening to know that as we explore what the wounds could be and how they show up and how we can begin to heal them, I really just want you to know that you haven't done anything wrong to get those wounds. Like, those wounds are an opportunity for you to now know and love yourself more. And they are exactly what your soul chose to have happen on this path. Like, Peggy, I'm sure that I'd love for you to share actually your journey, but I'll just finish this sentence, that your soul chose for this to happen so that you could expand into more of who you are and explore like all of the realms of this like crazy physical world. And and to know and love yourself more. That's what we're doing here. Not telling you that you have wounds so that you can feel worse about them, but so mm-hmm. that you can be free of them and love yourself more from them.
Yeah.
But the idea of something challenging happening as being totally shit and also a part of the medicine that you then get to bring to the world. Peggy, I feel like you are a living, breathing example of that. Would you share your journey with us, please?
Sure. Well, I am one of those people who didn't think that there was any wounding that was there. And that was part of my coping. As a child, I was sexually abused from the ages of 5 until either 14 or 15 by 3 different people. Mm-hmm. 3 people, not the whole entire time, but over the course of those years, 3 different people. And I knew that what happened wasn't right, but I didn't... At that time, nobody was talking about it at all. So I didn't really, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what to call it. And part of how we cope as children in general, no matter what the difficulty might be, because we don't have the developmental capacity to understand it, we almost always blame ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if you think about children whose parents get divorced, and even under pretty good circumstances, as good as they can be, children tend to still blame themselves. They somehow think that maybe it was about them. And that's because developmentally, we just don't have the capacity to understand beyond our own sense of self. So I believed that everything that happened was because somehow I caused it, mm-hmm. that I was either being punished, that I was just bad, and so I made these things happen, or whatever it was. So as I went on through my life, I just believed that I was not a good person and I was absolutely damaged. And I knew that I didn't feel great about myself. I knew that I wasn't particularly happy. I knew that I worried about things all the time. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that that's how you were. Like that wasn't, I didn't see that as a problem. I didn't see it as anything that could be changed. And I ended up having almost all the problems that a lot of survivors tend to struggle with, everything from depression and suicidality and drug use and being promiscuous and just all of it. Like I had all of those struggles. And then I had a particularly bad day a year after my mom died and my husband was worried about me and he called 911 and he said, I don't know what to do and you need help mm-hmm. because I was hurting myself. And he was afraid. And so I called the local Rape Crisis Center and my healing began. And what was interesting about it is that when I called the Rape Crisis Center, it was only because that was the only place that I knew to call. I wasn't familiar with any therapists. I didn't know any other organizations, but I knew that I had that in my history. And so I called them to ask for a referral. And she said, well, if you've been sexually abused, you can come here. And I thought, well, okay. So then I went to a support group early on. And in that support group, this was just probably a month into my journey, we were able to recognize that each of us in this group, and there were, I think, maybe 6 of us, that each of us, our entire lives, had struggled with the same things. Mm. All those things that I thought were just a part of who I was always going to be, I realized as I sat there that, oh my God, it's not just who I am. All of us have struggled with these things. And I remember leaving there that day and thinking, why do we not know this? Mm. Why isn't anybody talking about this? Because at that time, still nobody was talking about it. And I didn't realize it actually until relatively recently that actually planted the seed for what I do now. But that was kind of really the beginning of my journey and the real understanding of everything, of the fact that I was wounded, even though it was hard to acknowledge that. It was hard because it's painful to accept all of those wounds. It's hard to accept and feel the pain and the betrayal that's associated with that. But we cannot heal what we deny is wounded. It's just impossible. And so there was so much freedom in that. And that is the work now that I do in the world, is helping people have hope, first of all. Yeah. That whatever their struggle is, it's not who they are. It's not who they're meant to be. And when we are willing to acknowledge and really honor those wounds, there's freedom on the other side of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your story. And I loved that you said that you thought it was just a part of who you were. And mm-hmm. I see that so often, especially with some of my family members. So I feel like there's almost two things I want to talk on here. I get really excited sometimes. So like one group of people who are like, oh, it's just who I am. And they've never understood that those choices or behaviors or even those thoughts in their own head that they like, that's not them.
Yeah.
And this is like the truth of them is far more infinite and eternal and loving than that. And this is a part of who you, like what you've experienced and what mm-hmm. you made that mean. After that, yeah. It's another way of looking at things, and that those things aren't necessarily you, but things that have happened to you and things you've decided about things that have happened to you. And then on the other end, I've seen in the personal development world, and I've done this myself, I've done both at different points. on the other end of the spectrum is the over responsibility almost, in terms of, oh, I understand that everything that comes into my life is a reflection of who I am. And so then I'm going to feel shame for having attracted this circumstance yeah. into my life. And that is one that I've totally done, and only recently realized another way of looking at that. But I'd love for you to share your experience of the over responsibility of our wounds in the personal development field.
Yeah. You know, this is an interesting and really interesting piece of this for me, because my journey into like the self-development world, so in terms of like coaches and spiritual coaches and all of that, that's kind of been like about a couple of years maybe that I've been kind of delving into that a little bit more, because I brought my work online instead of doing one-on-one therapy. And as I've connected more with people and you know, read people's stories and books and heard them talk about things. I remember early on hearing different, I couldn't even tell you right now who, but just some different things. And I thought, wow, that's, oh my gosh. Like I don't want them to believe that. You know, like I remember reading a post one time, and somebody said it was about abuse. And I think it might've been about a domestic violence situation. And she was sharing that she understands, whether it's past lives or her own karma or something like that, that she's brought this into her life. And I just thought, okay, hold on. Like, it just made me feel so heartbroken for her. And people were commenting about, acknowledging the truth of that is true. And you just are going to have to work through that and your next life will be better or something. You know, I don't remember exactly what people were saying, but I just thought, wow, this is not good. Because she had been in this relationship for, I don't know, something like 15 years or something. And I was hesitant actually to say anything because I hadn't known that much about this kind of self-development and spiritual and all of that, this realm. And so I wasn't quite sure how my words would be taken. And I did end up saying something. And I prefaced it that, you know, this is kind of new to me, and that my background is in therapy and all of that, and domestic violence, because I work in domestic violence and sexual assault. And and while it was a different idea from a lot of people, it did seem to resonate for her, and she actually reached out to me privately and was going to seek support around the situation that she was currently in. And for me, and that was a while ago, and so for me, I thought, I have those moments when I hold back and think, okay, you know, I don't know enough about that piece of it necessarily. But it helped me recognize that I think it's important to have another voice. You know, you can take with it what you want, but to just hear that maybe you don't deserve whatever this is. And unhealthy relationships is a big area where I see this. I see so many women who've reached out to me, but also just that I, you know, hear about their stories and stuff, that is the case, that they're living because somehow they feel that that's what they've created, whether it's in this lifetime or another lifetime or whatever it may be. And so that they have to find the meaning in that. They have to understand what they're supposed to learn before they can be safe, before they can move on from that, before they can have the freedom that they deserve. And I think that, you know, again, I don't know that much about that realm, but if you are in a situation, or if you've experienced a situation that, particularly if you were wounded, so if something didn't feel good that was done by somebody else, I'm not going to say that it doesn't have anything to do with something that's more on a spiritual level, but what I absolutely know to be true is that in this lifetime, you do not deserve that. And this is the life that you are in. It is this lifetime that you are living. And nobody deserves to be treated in a way that rips apart at their soul. And nobody brings that on themselves. Nobody brings on somebody else's destructive and unhealthy behavior. There's other ways that we can learn to set boundaries. There's other ways that we can learn the lessons that may come. There's other ways that we can become stronger in certain areas of our lives. I hope that anybody who might be listening to this, who has, whether it's been something from the past or certainly in a current situation, if you have felt hurt physically, emotionally by anybody, please do not take that on as something that you've created, as something that you need to stick with until you've learned a lesson. Because whatever you need to learn, whatever you need to teach in the world will come once you have the freedom to fully step into that. And if you are in a situation that is limiting that freedom, then you can never fully live.
It's such a tricky one, especially in this area, the idea of the mirror, and the idea that I believe we are a soul who is literally creating the world around us as we go. Yet, for example, when my dog passed away in December last year, he was like my son. I adored him. It was literally like losing a child for me. And I suffered with like this over responsibility for that, and this deep past lifetime stuff around, did I cause that? Like, was I too happy and then something had to change because I had a belief I couldn't stay that happy, and then everything had to fall apart, and so did I kill him? Like, there was just so many things going through my head, and it really gave me the opportunity to look at that and go, what do I want to believe about this? Because I feel like a helpful belief, like you can tell in your body if it's a helpful belief or not.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, a separation of the things, my like working definition for a mirror at the moment. Everyone, this is the working definition. If you'd asked me a few months ago, it would have been different.
And yeah.
If you'd asked me in a few months, it could be different. But I saw an article recently, I think on the Channeling the Masters website, about the mirror and it being that what someone else is doing in your life around you is not something that you created, but that your experience of that is something that you can then learn from. So for example, the dog passing away, not something I created. However, my beliefs that it brought up, all something I could learn from.
Yeah.
And yeah. That feels better for me. I used to feel almost like God was punishing me if I did something wrong. And that is not the idea of the benevolent universe that I know and love. And mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to me that we are eternally loved and like a part of this oneness, and that we are being punished if we think a wrong thought or because we did something in a past lifetime. Like, we're not being punished. We can learn from everything that happens, but that I don't feel that what someone else does, you caused. Like,
right.
The lesson for you is something you can learn from, but I don't feel that their actions are something that you have control over. You just have control over you.
Yeah. And I think that that's a really helpful kind of way to think about that. Because when you think about, you know, especially if it's somebody who has hurt you, and again, that can look a lot of different ways. We can be hurt by people and even intentionally in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways that we often cope with that, even as adults sometimes, is to blame ourselves, because then we feel like we have some sort of control over it, which is really what that's about. And so we can feel safer going forward. But if you think about that idea, if we're creating somebody else's behavior, then what about their behavior? Who's creating that behavior for them? Mm-hmm. You know, everybody, and the dog, and my dog actually passed away in January, so I have some recent experience with this too. It's so, you know, whomever that may be, whether it's God or whatever you think about, would bring this dog into your life and have it die so that it could teach you a lesson. Like, that would make you incredibly more important than a lot of other people in the world, more important than the dog, if whomever is creating this person to do these things to you in your life so that you learn something, that's a whole lot of it's a whole lot of energy that goes into affecting other people's behavior so that you can learn a lesson. Mm-hmm. So I think I love how you talked about that yes, we cannot control somebody else. We're not bringing that into our lives, but how we experience that, I think there is always something that we can take from that, whether it's even recognizing our own strength in something, our own ability to manage, our own ability for resilience. You know, it's one of the things that I talk to people all the time about who had really difficult early lives, is even when they can't connect with any strength within themselves, being able to look at all these different things and say, but you survived that and here you are. If that's not resilience, you know, and strength, what is? And so it's something that people can really recognize that, yes, that is a part of who they are. And you can see that because you can recognize everything that you've had to live through and survive and overcome.
Yeah, I used to think that maybe it was because my vibration wasn't high enough and so I caused it. And now I see it more like it's an opportunity to raise my vibration, like regardless of how it happened. I just really wanted people to know that, because I think it's so important that in this world of taking ownership so important to take ownership of your own stuff, but not someone else's stuff.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So now I would love for you to share on, I feel like we've talked a lot about this, and I'm being really gentle because it's such a topic that can have such an impact on the people that are listening. Like if you've got a wound and we say something here, it could make it worse. So I'm being super gentle, and I feel that's really important to do.
Yeah.
And so I've given more weight to this idea of like sexual abuse and rape and stuff in here. But I also feel like it's important to talk about, you know how you said your parents split up and you're too young to realize that it was about them, and so you decide it's about you, and that can cause a wound. Can you give us some examples for the people who might still be going, okay, but I haven't been sexually assaulted? Like what are some other things that can cause, actually, what are some behaviors that lead to wounds? Because I think we've all got wounds, which means we've all got some behaviors that have got like come from wounds.
Yeah. So
let's start with, what are some of the behaviors that come from wounds?
So this really can look so many different ways, which is part of the reason I think why it's so difficult for people to understand that there's something there to heal. So people tend to go one of two ways. And on one end, it's, so we're talking about it like a spectrum. On one end of the spectrum, there's more like withdrawn, depressive, anxious kinds of behaviors, which seem a little more obvious. However, on the other end, it can look very different, and it can be super independent. It can be super opinionated. It can be incredibly successful, like really driven, really perfectionistic, really just somebody that you would look at and think, oh my gosh, they must not have any problems. You know, like they really got their act together. So it's really difficult because it really can go one of two ways. And the people who tend to go the way of looking like everything is fine in their lives tend to have more difficulty, both with acknowledging the wounds and also healing at times, because part of going in that direction, the direction of being super successful and looking like everything is fine, that's coping. That's how you cope. You cope with making everything look okay so that you can tell yourself everything is okay, so everybody thinks that everything is okay. And to acknowledge those wounds, as I was saying earlier, it's, you have to allow yourself to let down those self-protective barriers that you've set up. You have to take the mask off. You have to be willing to be seen without that mask. And that can be incredibly terrifying because, again, you know, depending on maybe what that wound is, that mask that you wear really may have been what helped you literally survive. Like literally maybe has helped you survive. So there can be a lot of fear and anxiety around that. Certainly the same can be true on the other end of that spectrum as well, in terms of a mask and all of that. But people who tend to not feel so great, people who tend to struggle with unhealthy relationships or depression and that kind of thing, they're acknowledging that there's something that's not quite right. So they tend to be a little bit more open.
Yeah. And then those people though, on like that's the end of the spectrum, could receive love and support from doing that. And they feel then like if they were to acknowledge that it was a wound and not who they are, what if they stop receiving that love and that support? Because it's the only way that they've known to get it for a while. So it can be so terrifying on either end of that. And as we were talking about in terms of probably everyone has some wounds and that everyone is showing then behaviors of that, it feels to me like as I've like grown and lived, that I've understood how some of my behaviors, like attempting to look like I was perfect on the outside, I went that way, were me hiding stuff. And so then at, like being able to show that I'm not always okay has been scary, but like the willingness of that has allowed me to in some ways become more whole
and absolutely
more of all of me. And so I went from being a really outgoing, need to be around people all the time kind of person to actually now I love my own time and I love being with people, but I love my own time. And I feel that that maybe it's what you're saying is one end of the spectrum over here, one end of the spectrum over there, and that the journey through our wounds and acknowledging them and acknowledging how they make us feel like this is the only way that we can be allows us to embrace both ends of the spectrum and a willingness and an ability to move through either ends of the spectrum and be more in the center, if like in our spot that we choose, rather than feeling like it was chosen because that's just who we are. Is that right? Like, did I encapsulate all of that properly?
Yeah. I think that that really is a big piece of it. And when you were talking about that for you, it was kind of being perfect in every way, and then talking about being able to let that go a little bit. Part of the reason that's better, that it just feels better, and it actually allows for much deeper true connection, actually, is because when you are, and this is true for the other side too, like if you are, you know, if you're depressed and that's where you get attention or whatever, which isn't necessarily always the case, but certainly that can happen. But when you are always wearing that mask, any like positive attention that you get, and I don't mean that in like any sort of negative or judgmental way, but any, you know, somebody says, oh my God, you're so smart, or oh my God, that was so incredible, you know that you're not showing up authentically. And so when they say that, or when you get any sort of feedback, positive feedback, there's a part of you, and this could happen subconsciously, that's saying, yeah, but you don't know this. And so you never fully internalize that truth of who you are, because there's a part of you that's always holding on to, yeah, but. When you are willing, and this is a huge risk, when you are willing to take that mask off and let people really see you, to really know you, and it doesn't mean you have to share all your deepest, darkest things with everybody. It just means that you need to know that there's somebody who knows these things, whatever they are, and they love you and accept you anyway. Because without that mask on, when somebody says, I love you, you know that they love you, not who you appear to be.
I love that. I love that. And I hear that, I think I heard it first with Tony Robbins, I don't know. But they say, one of the core fears for all humans is this, but if you really knew me, you wouldn't. Like if you knew this about me, or if you knew the real me, you wouldn't love me, you wouldn't accept me. And I feel that maybe we all have a little bit of like, but if you really knew. And I wonder if maybe this is going a bit more on a spiritual level now than the therapist part, but I wonder if that's because if you really knew the real you, you would know that you are everything. Like, so it's kind of like, maybe if someone says, oh, you're so kind, and it's like, well, if you really knew the real me, I can be mean too, and that's okay. But we're just like, we're everything, and we're trying in these little bundled packages to be like, this is who I was loved as a child, so I'm just going to keep doing this. And just, I don't know, you don't even need to answer that. Just a thing that popped up a little.
Yeah. Well, and I think that what you just said, I think is a really important piece of this, is that nobody is all or nothing. Even if we're depressed, we're not, there's more to us than being depressed. Even if we're super successful, whatever that might mean, there's more to us than that. And the more that we understand that, and we kind of do it to ourselves in a sense, because again, part of our way of coping is separating ourselves from other people, and that might seem completely counterintuitive, but that's part of what we do. And so we create the separateness from other people, and we think, okay, they're this and I'm this, so therefore I don't belong and I'm not worthy and all of that. When I think this is starting to happen a lot more, when people are willing to just own the parts of ourselves, all the parts of ourselves, not just our stories, but our struggles, and the reality that, you know, even if you are, I don't know, you seem really successful on the outside, that you wake up some mornings and think, oh my God, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, like just being honest, and the more honest we can be with ourselves, and that's one of the most difficult things, is being able to be really honest with ourselves. We can never be fully honest with other people. And the thing about that that is so important is that, and I know people have a hard time sometimes when I say this, because it's kind of like, oh, no, that's not true. If we are not willing to show up fully within ourselves, so to know ourselves fully and own all these parts of ourselves, whatever connection we create in the world, it's not full, it's not true, it's not deep, real connection, because we're not connecting with the whole of who we are. Mm. We're connecting from that facade, that mask. And nothing can be built on that.
Yeah. The whole people are going to judge you either way. So, you know,
yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And one of the things that you said then was, we're not one thing, like we're not just this or just that. And it kind of sparks something in that if we hear ourselves say, I'm never mean or I'm always kind, that can be a real indicator that maybe there's a part that we're pretending that we aren't. Because really, I don't know about you, but I've been mean. And
oh, well, of course.
Yeah, like we have all ends of, like, all little parts of the spectrum, all of the personality traits. We have the ability to be all of those within. And we're judging others and saying that we're never that. And that's maybe an opportunity to have a little look. We almost have to finish up, so I would really like to ask, I feel like this is the questions I've been getting to the whole way along, but we've had such beautiful honoring steps along the way, so it's been beautiful. So if people know, like, let's just get here, people realize that they have wounds, where do they go from there?
So being able to recognize that you have those wounds, so if there's something that you, whether it's something obvious that you think, okay, I know that this happened, this is something I experienced, or you just recognize that no matter what you achieve in your life, or no matter what good things are happening in your life, you're just not, you still find yourself struggling in some way. What I truly would recommend, if you don't know exactly what that is or how it's affecting you, I really do think that therapy is something that everybody should consider at some point in their lives. I really do. I very much believe in it. I'm not doing therapy anymore, but I so completely believe that everybody should go to therapy at some point in their lives. Mm-hmm. So if you've not done that, that is something that I would actually encourage people to do. There's going to therapy is something, it's like going to a medical doctor. It's like having a medical doctor that you go and see, and when you're having a problem and when you're not, just to get a checkup to make sure that everything's going okay. In addition to that, so or maybe that's not available to you, if you can honor whatever that wound is, so let's say you had a friend that betrayed you in school, like a friend that you thought was a really good friend, and that person betrayed you by sharing some secrets, even if it wasn't like a really big deal, the secret wasn't that big or whatever, but it just left you not trusting. If you recognize that, it's important to be able to honor what that meant to you at the time. Don't tell yourself it wasn't a big deal. Just like, oh, oh, wow, yeah, I do remember that really hurt. And I had a really hard time with that. Being able to just honor that in and of itself can actually go a really long way. And then, of course, depending on what it is, therapy might be really important or maybe not. I also think that if whatever that thing is, whatever that wound might be is, if it's something that you've never talked about with anybody before, being able to share that with somebody that you trust, even if it's something that doesn't seem like that big of a deal, is also really important. To just be able to share that there's something that happened. Because so often, again, as children, we tell ourselves that it's just us, that it's not a big deal. And so when we can share that with somebody else, one of the most healing things that we can experience is for somebody to say, me too. Mm. Or, oh my gosh, I remember when this happened. So maybe it's not the same kind of experience, but it's the same feeling, like a feeling of betrayal or a feeling of fear or whatever it might be, loneliness. Being able to hear somebody say, me too, is so incredibly powerful.
Mm. Yeah. Oh. Thank you. I feel like the idea of wounds and there's a part of me that's even been a bit funny about using the word wounds, because I feel like if we could just call them opportunities to expand the wholeness of who we are some more. Yeah, like there's a bit of a funny thing about that for me, but they're there and they're opportunities and things that I believe that we need to look at. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've had this can of worms that we've opened up, and that in this podcast we kind of can't pull it out. Like there's so much I'd still like to say, yeah. Especially because it is something that's quite deep, and I don't want to leave anyone feeling as though we've touched on something and something's been opened and now you have nowhere to go. And that's the last thing that I want. I'm hoping and intending that this podcast leaves you feeling empowered to at least have a look, mm-hmm. at least see if there might be something there for you, and realize that, as we've said, this is not just you. All of us have them in some Absolutely. Way or another. All of us have more than one, probably. And it doesn't make you any less worthy. You are so valuable to the world. And like this is just a part of your ability to open up into more of who you are. In saying that, Peggy, please tell them where they can find you so that if they're looking for someone who actually can support them through that, they can go find you. And I do want to say as well that if you feel like you can't, maybe like if you're not in like a financial position to afford support at this time, that even if you just send me a private message on Facebook or an email, I would love to be able to just answer any questions in the interest of, you know, being responsible with this podcast. But if you can, please, Peggy, tell them where they can come and find you, and maybe you have free resources or maybe you can help them in.
Yeah. Well, certainly for anybody that might be listening who has a history of sexual abuse or assault, I have a YouTube channel with a lot of different videos where I talk about a lot of different kinds of things. So there's lots of information there, and it's my name, Peggy. I think it's my name. It might be Courageous Journeys. I'm actually not sure now that I think about it, but I have a YouTube channel. You can find me by putting in my name.
Can you spell your name for them, please?
Sure. It's Peggy, P-E-G-G-Y. Olivera, O-L-I-V as in Victor, E-I-R-A. And so there's a lot of free resources there that's just kind of helpful to understand things and stuff like that. Also, I am happy if anybody listening has questions or what do I do now, I am also happy to respond to emails or I'm not great about Facebook messages because I get so many of them, it's hard to kind of sort through them. But an email is fine, healing@courageousjourneys.com. And you can also find me on my website. I have a contact page, and the website is courageousjourneys.com as well. And I'm on Facebook, so Courageous Journeys on Facebook as well.
Cool. It sounds like you might be Courageous Journeys on YouTube, just me.
I think it might be.
Yeah. This has been, almost scary for me to do this podcast, because I just so understand that when you're in a place where you're feeling really vulnerable, that one person on a podcast saying something that sounds like you caused it for yourself, or, you know, things like that, that can really put your healing journey backwards. So I truly, from the bottom of my heart, am so grateful to have done this in such an honoring way, to say that you are empowered to support your own healing journey. There are people like Peggy and I and so many others that are here to support you. And that you are so valuable and worthy and enough just as you are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Peggy, for coming and sharing your wisdom with me and everyone who's listening.
My pleasure. May I just say one thing to that point? Whatever those wounds may be, whatever they may be, as significant as they may seem, as overwhelming as they may seem, healing is possible. It truly, truly is. It is for, I believe that at the bottom of my being, that healing is possible for everyone, no matter what those wounds are.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. So I get the delicious honor of going over to the secret episode now with Peggy, and I'm going to find out what's her life really like now. And I'm kind of hoping that I'll find out if she has off days still and what they look like. So you are most welcome to come and join us over at aninspiredlife.com.au/secret, which is where the behind the scenes of Peggy's life and what she does when fear comes up and what is challenging her at the moment and what is awesome at the moment, all those sorts of questions I'll be asking in the secret episode. So thank you, Peggy, for sticking around to do that. And I just want to let everyone know as well that you can join a conversation and a discussion amongst other lightworkers, people who are committed to being the best version of themselves and to sharing light in the world. You can join our conversation and our discussion about this podcast in the private Facebook group called Lightworkers Rising. So facebook.com/groups/Lightworkers Rising. And you're most welcome to ask any questions that you have there as well. And lastly, if you have enjoyed this podcast and you feel like there could possibly be anybody you know in your network that might possibly have a wound or something that maybe they need to explore a little bit more, you can like send it to your mom. Maybe don't send it and be like, you really need this. But if you feel that there are people in your network who could benefit from hearing this podcast, I invite you to share, please, because you sharing can truly serve others. And Peggy and I have made no claims to know all of the answers, but the heartfelt intention in sharing something can really make a difference, and that's what I'm asking and inviting you to do as well. So thank you again, everyone, for listening. Thank you for being this committed to yourself, that you show up each week to listen to this podcast. Thank you, Peggy. Thank you, like God, the universe. Thank you, everyone. And Peggy and I are going to head on over to the secret episode right now. Thank you.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions from the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.